entities can help you do more. If you set yourself up the right way with the right types of structures, you should be able to do more. And that's where I think investors, by and large, sometimes don't see the value in a limited liability company because they've been preconditioned to look at it as an asset protection tool. Whereas I look at it as, yeah, it's an asset protection tool, but if it's structured the right way, that tool will allow me to qualify, if I'm using traditional lending, more financing, just by the way I structure my entity.
Hello, hello. My name is Abel Pacheco, and you're listening to the Five Talents Podcast, how to build wealth like the 1%. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Five Talents Podcast, how to build wealth like the 1%. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. I'm the principal of Five Talents Capital. We're a San Antonio, Texas real estate investment firm, and we're actively invested in 1,500 doors of commercial real estate worth $115 million, much of which is right here in San Antonio, Texas, the Alamo City, baby. I'm also a fund manager, a capital allocator, and a servant leader who learned how to invest like the 1%. And on the Five Talents Podcast, I enjoy helping others learn and doing the same. So if you're seeking investment strategies to catapult your family wealth and generate passive income, even in today's volatile market, this show is for you. Because each week we're bringing you interviews with PE firms, investment advisors, financial planners, tax strategists, VC funds, and many others who are highly skilled in handling money, good stewards of capital, and individuals who advise the wealthiest 1% on what to do with their money. So each show, we're going to provide you insights and actionable steps that you can implement to become a better investor. You're always going to learn something that you can apply in your own investment journey on the Five Talents Podcast. We hope you enjoy the show. Hello, hello. This is Abel Pacheco, your host for the Five Talents Podcast, where we talk about how to build wealth like the 1%. And we have a super amazing guest, Mr. Clint Coons. He's the founding partner of Anderson, which is legal business and tax advising. Man, they are amazing. He's a published author. He's a real estate asset protection expert. Really, over there at Anderson, I've used Anderson for quite some time, really since like 2018, 2019, somewhere in that area. But man, he's got an amazing legal and tax firm. They do really a lot of assisting real estate investors, creating and implementing really solid entity and structure plans. For me, man, he's helped me create the structure, leverage it. You hear me talk enough about beating the tax man. That's what we've done in the last few years through multifamily and syndications. I'm super pumped. So anyways, their firm has helped me protect our 1,500 doors in multifamily. So let me turn it over for a second. Clint, dude, I'm super pumped you're here. In your own words, yeah, just, you know, tell me your own introduction, man. I'm a little excited because you're on the podcast, bro.
Well, you did a great job. You're right. You hit the nail on the head. I started Anderson Business Advisors with my partner, Toby Mathis, back in 99. And, you know, it was born out of wanting to help people protect their assets. And over the years, as we started growing the firm from, you know, a few employees, now we have close to 500 employees and we have offices in different states. We realized along that growth trajectory that there are more services that our clients were desiring, like tax and strategy planning, business planning. So we really brought it all under one firm so that you didn't get this experience where, hey, I go to my attorney tells me, oh, I don't want to talk to you about tax. You got to go see your CPA. You go to your CPA and your attorney looks at what your attorney or your CPA looks at what the attorney did and can't figure that out. And so you get bounced back and forth, you become paralyzed and you don't know what to do. So we took the approach after seeing that or a few years of running Anderson, hey, we really need to build out the tax inside of Anderson and get the strategies that we're teaching to be applied to the structures that we're creating for our clients. And so that was the genesis of the firm, and it's worked out extremely well. And along that way, I mean, I'm a real estate investor at heart. My father was an avid real estate investor. In fact, the only reason he wanted a couple of kids, his sons, is he needed indentured servants for 26 years until I graduated from law school. Because
someone's got to work it. Someone's got to work it.
Oh, no. He called me up as soon as he knew I was done with finals. What are you doing today? 6 o'clock in the morning, by the way. And I said, I just got up. He goes, good. Well, get your breakfast and meet me over at this house in an hour. We're going to re-roof it. And I'm like, I just finished up with finals. He's like, no, now it's time to pay for next year's schooling. So let's get working. And, you know, so I grew up working in real estate, and that really inspired me seeing what my parents were able to do, my father, to want to put together my own portfolio with my partner, Toby Mathis. And, you know, through the years, we've grown the portfolio now to probably 300 and some properties, 350 properties. And I don't know how many doors that we have, because you turn that stuff over to people. People often ask me, are you running it? I'm like, heck no, I can't run it anymore. I've got a team that handles everything. All I look at is how much money I'm bringing in, making sure that that's happening. Yeah, I'm simplifying it, but it's been really good. And we, you know, different asset classes as well with the investing. So, you know, the diversification that way, and seeing how, you know, different things can produce revenue for you has been great. Figured out what I didn't like along the way and disposed of those types of assets. And so you really, you know, narrow in what your focus is. And so that's what we do at Anderson. We bring that experience just from our own investing to our clients. And we have a unique approach to the planning overall.
Yeah. I love it, man. What I think the first time I heard, you know, you and your partner speak, it was a Robert Kiyosaki real estate conference. It was the first time that I had taken any education. We were doing deals for 10 years and I'd never thought about taking education. So anyways, went to the whole program and I heard, you know, everything that you guys were talking about. And I go, man, I've been doing it wrong a lot of years. One of those things you mentioned, doing it wrong. I was doing the work myself. For anybody listening, that's not how the wealthy build their own, you know, wealth. They don't do the work. Which is a mindset. I was like, well, I don't know how to lay tile and I don't know plumbing and man, I got to learn this stuff. And then I got to learn all this stuff, man. I heard you guys talking. I was like, no. Somebody else is going to do that. And they're going to, you structure it. Here's your entity. Here's how wealthy people do that. So man, tell me a little bit about that. You talk to a lot of investors, people doing it themselves, you know, versus, you know, letting someone else do it, man. Elaborate on that. That'd be awesome.
Well, you know, it's high value versus low value. Where's your time better spent? And a lot of us get trapped into spending too much of our time on low value activities that aren't going to help move the ball down the field. That's going to increase our wealth, increase our net income. And I see it time and time again. And I've fallen into that trap as well. We all do at certain times. And it could be as just as simple as the fact that you like doing that activity. Maybe you find some type of peace in going out there and putting a new floor in the rental property you're buying. Like my father would have everyone, you know, he'd go out there, he'd work on these properties every day after work. He'd do everything, electrical, roof, you know, he had the kids to help him. But the problem is that he acquired properties, maybe 20 properties, but he could have done so much more. And how could he have done more if he'd spent the time on the acquisition side and let somebody else come in and do the work on the backside so he could always be out there generating new deals? And so that's just an idea of what I see a lot of the times with investors is that they fall into that, well, I have to do it all myself. I have to learn it. And you really don't. You should hire professionals to do what they're good at, and you should stick to doing what you're good at. And you're going to find you're going to make more money.
Yeah. On that note, you know, one of the first big paradigm shifts for me was this, and other people's time, other people's money, and other people's knowledge. And we've a lot of people hear OPM, 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 and you know, really, we raise capital from investors and put it into large multifamily apartment complexes. So some of those investors go, "Oh, you're taking my money and leverage," and I go, "No." We're leveraging the bank's money. That's other people's money. People we'd have no idea. You're on the equity side with me and we invest it. But it was the other people's time and other people's knowledge that it's almost like this triad to build massive wealth. There's no way you can scale as one individual. You only have so many hours in the day. And if you're not leveraging, you know, time, knowledge, and resource from people that are experts, like you said, and then you're never going to really get that virtuous cycle that, you know, that leverage that you're looking for to create massive wealth. Would you agree?
I agree. I mean, we built our portfolio initially on wholesalers. So we would find people in select markets. And first I'd go and evaluate the market myself. So I would spend my time to evaluate the market, determine whether or not I wanted to invest there, figure out my team. And then we would start acquiring properties from wholesalers in those markets. And eventually, you know, that built into a situation now where we have our own team of buyers that go out and find properties. But I knew that I didn't have the time to do it myself. I'm running this firm, a successful firm, and growing it. But I also wanted to get involved in real estate. So I leveraged other people's time to help build the wealth. And I mean, the thing that amazes me with real estate investors too, and when it comes to starting out, many times people think you got to have money. You got to have a lot of money to get started. And, you know, I've done well, but some of the first deals that I did, even though I could pay cash for them, it's like, why put my cash into it? I had hard money lenders come in, loan me everything, not only for acquisition, plus the rehab. Once that deal was done, I knew that I was going to have 20, 30% equity in the property. I already had a bank lined up. I'd go to that bank. I would do a cash out on the hard money loan, put in traditional financing, and then I was on to my next property. Yeah. So that's how I would roll those properties. And people are like, well, how much did you pay to get that house? $1,500.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Well, this is awesome. And doing 300, you know, properties plus, I'm sure, up and down and transactions bought and sold and probably more than you can imagine or think about or remember anyways. What type of asset classes have you invested, you know, real estate wise? What kind of asset classes have you invested in?
Pretty much everything. You know, we've done warehouses. We have Airbnb. We've done that for a while. A lot of residential, multifamily, commercial property, mobile home parks, self-storage. I think that's pretty much it. I don't know if I missed anything there. But it's one of those things. You used to flip properties for a while. So I was flipping properties in the Las Vegas market for a number of years. So when an opportunity comes along, we're always looking to take action and understand that, you know, when you're doing this stuff too, entities can help you do more. If you set yourself up the right way with the right types of structures, you should be able to do more. And that's where I think investors, by and large, sometimes don't see the value in a limited liability company because they've been preconditioned to look at it as an asset protection tool. Whereas I look at it as, it's an asset protection tool, but if it's structured the right way, that tool will allow me to qualify, if I'm using traditional lending, more financing. Just by the way I structure my entity. And so many people miss that aspect of it. I always refer to this as the three-legged stool. You've got asset protection, you've got tax planning, you've got business planning, and you've got CPAs that understand the tax side, you have attorneys that understand the legal side. Typically, those guys don't understand the business planning side because they don't see themselves as business owners, like a real estate investor, like yourself. You're a business owner. You look at your investing as a business, you treat it as a business, it'll perform as such. But if you hold yourself back and say, oh, I'm just an investor, you adopt that investor mindset, it makes it difficult for you to move forwards and do the right things that are going to allow you to achieve true success and really grow that wealth. And that's where we've really grown the firm on those principles because I made a ton of those mistakes when I first got started out, just on my own investing side by how I was running my existing business. And I faced challenges where when it came to growth, I couldn't grow because I was putting the emphasis on reducing taxes. Everybody loves to reduce taxes, right?
Sure.
If I told you tomorrow, hey, I could wipe you out, you pay zero taxes this year, what would you say?
Cool. Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. But if I told you, if I did that for you, you'll never be able to qualify for another loan. You won't be able to buy any more real estate. Like, what the hell?
Not very fun.
And that's the problem where people, investors, you know, people that are investing in real estate, they don't see that side of it. And they start running up against challenges. I'll give you a little example of that. A couple of 2 weeks ago, I was speaking with one of our platinum clients, and he called in to have a strategy session about his investing because he hit this wall. He has eight properties and he was just told that he could only qualify for two more with traditional.
And which is why I think I originally found you. I had eight single family houses.
Yeah.
I was trying to get the 10 in a year. And I was like, I don't know how people are doing 50 houses. I don't understand. Enter you guys. Yeah.
So for the way he wanted to go about it, he wanted to keep using traditional financing. And I am looking at his file. I said, well, you're married. Well, do you put your wife on all those loans? He said, yeah, I put her on all the loans. I said, well, there's your problem right there. You could have done 20, 10 her, 10 you, 10 packs each.
Yeah.
Had you started out working with us at the outset, we would have advised you to do it that way. But he just didn't know. And so now he actually had set up structures and by the way he was buying the properties that was limiting his growth ability through the ways in which he knows how to do it through traditional financing.
Yeah. I love it. There's a couple things. I'm taking more than a few notes. If you can't tell. If anybody's listening or watching and you're not taking notes, wait till the replay comes back out and get your pen and a piece of paper, because you're doing it wrong, I promise. So there's a few words that I heard a couple times. Taking action, I heard education, entity, growth structures. I love your three-legged stool, asset protection, tax, and then the business part of it, right? So there's a few things that, you know, I wanted to head towards, which is you can take all the action in the world, right? If you really want to, you know, build a lot of wealth, you can take a lot of action. But if you don't prepare right, if you don't have the right education, you, like, man, I worked for 10 years and I did my PFS for the first time. And I was like, I'm not a millionaire. Well, how did that happen? And nobody around me had as many houses as I did. And then the moment I got a little education, it's like, oh, okay, my net worth triples, quadruples in a short period of time. And you're like, oh, okay, this is how the wealthy do it. So maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, the value of that. Taking action, number one, but then education, preparing to do those things, just kind of like you mentioned.
Okay. So several times people have told me that I've been lucky, you know. That for a lot of individuals who don't understand the processes you go through, they view what you're doing as, oh, you just got lucky and it just fell into your lap. And the reality is, yeah, there's always a portion of that. But I look at luck as is created. It's where planning meets opportunity. And when those two things collide and they come together, that is where you're going to find truly great things that can come out of that, such as what I did here with building Anderson with my partner, because I've been planning to start this firm. I've been working on all of the processes and what we were going to do and laying out the business plan. And then an opportunity came along and there was a competitor for this opportunity. Difference was is that I could start the very next day because I had everything ready to go. The competitor couldn't start for a month or 2 months before they could get up speed. And so I got it. And that really launched this firm, was this initial opportunity. And so that's really important. And so how do you go about planning, making sure that you have all your entities set up the right way, your tax returns need to be looking a certain way. And so you know that when you're ready to put in the offer, how you're going to be putting that offer in, and you're not struggling trying to say, well, I need an LLC now and it's too late. We can't get one filed because it takes 17 days and you need it in two. And you, I see people doing that and I realize, yeah, that's kind of a disaster there. And then what happens, to your next point, and this is really where I saw my father and where he was at in life, is that when opportunities come along your way, if you know it's a great opportunity, don't hesitate to take action.
Boom.
And my dad will say, well, I don't understand how you have so many properties. And he'll tell me this. And then at the same time, he'll talk about opportunities he could have had.
He missed. Yeah.
Missed. Every time we go fishing, I'm listening to another missed opportunity, because, you know, he's trying to compare portfolios and how he could have, would have, should have. And I know what the problem is always going to be with him is that he overanalyzes the situation. And by the time he's done, what he knew was a good deal has already passed him by. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see a lot of people, they make that mistake. If you've done your numbers, you know what it is and you want it, you figure better find a way to get it.
Yeah.
And look at what it's going to do for you. That's the mindset you take, not what it's going to do to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever an opportunity comes my way, you know, my first question is, what is it going to do for me? I don't ask, what is it going to cost?
Yeah. Okay.
That's a preservation mindset. And I see that in a lot of people when they ask that question, I know where they're coming from. They're trying to protect, they're concerned, preserve, and they're not looking to grow.
Yeah. Man, that's such a wealthy mindset. I love it. Because, I mean, if I asked what it cost, which actually I did for 10 years, I learned about commercial multifamily real estate investing in 2008. And I delayed for 10 years because I said, I don't have millions of dollars to do deals. I had 20, 30K. I was a young kid and I'm trying to buy a single family house. I looked at the cost and I sized myself up and said I couldn't do it. As opposed to the mindset that you said, you know, ultimately right now, it's like, man, what's that going to do for me? It's going to free my life, create some passive income, create wealth, you know, for me, my family, or generations to come, change my family's, essentially their lifestyles today, and then also future generations. The cost is no longer a concern because I'm going to grind my tail off to go do what we need to do. Let's create a business. Let's put a syndication together. Let's pull some other investors together and we can buy something bigger than what we would have been able to buy on our own. Once we start saying, what's it going to do for you? as opposed to what's it going to cost. I love it. I love it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Five Talents Podcast with me, your host, Abel Pacheco. And since you're listening to the show right now, I wanted to break for a moment to tell you thank you so much for subscribing and following the show. I also want to give you access to our Simple Wealth case study for busy professionals that we explain how we invested in $150 million of commercial real estate to generate passive income. So I'm sharing with you how I personally build wealth like the 1% and explaining how you can create passive income in real estate without having to manage it yourself. So do yourself a favor, take a moment now and go to www.5talents.capital. That's the number 5 talents. talents.capital. And you can register, watch our video recorded case study, and we're going to give you access to our investment club as well. If you want to see like all of our next moves, every single investment move that we make, future investment opportunities, and even perhaps invest alongside us, go to our website now. We look forward to sharing more. You can register at www.5talents.capital. And we look forward to having you as part of the club. So in your expertise, you see so many different investors coming from so many different angles. Can you give us, you know, some nuggets across the board, some generalizations? I know it's kind of hard to, you know, streamline it, but what are a few things that you see the wealthiest of your clients, what do they do? Like, how do they do it? What's a repeat thing? I mean, you know, like clockwork, they're going to do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. So that's what we want to learn from too.
So what I see a common thread, number one, is how they create their existing, if they have an existing business, if they're in business for themselves, mm-hmm. that they're typically running that through a corporation or an entity that's taxed as a corporation because it gives them more control over their receipt of income. It also allows them to control, when I say control of receipt of income, it allows them to control what their 1040s will look like. Because they figured out that if I'm in business for myself, and let's say that I'm generating $500,000 a year through this service-based business, mm-hmm. well, most people set them up as S-corps.
Yeah.
And some people even make the mistake of a pass-through disregarded entity, sole proprietor. And all that money flows onto their tax return. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that when you go to borrow, the lender knows you're in business for yourself because you're not a W-2 wage earner. And the reason they set it up that way is because their CPA told them, hey, it's going to save you $8,000 a year in taxes. And I go, oh, I want savings. I want to save $8,000 a year. And
they didn't save it. Okay.
Exactly. Preservation.
Yeah.
They didn't look at if I set it up as a C corp instead of that flow through S corporation, what is it going to do for me on growing my real estate portfolio, creating additional opportunities for me? And so I've seen that the people that are find success or able to get deals done really quick and qualify are the ones that have figured that area out on the business planning side. It's something that I do now as well, because I've lost deals because of the way my 1040s looked. And you can fix it if you know what to do. The other things that they typically do is they never buy in their own name if they can avoid it. Or once they've bought it in their own name, they're going to move it into a structure, an LLC typically, or a series LLC, or land trust in Florida, or whatever you're investing. And then they make sure that income that comes from the property is going to hit their tax return through a holding company, which we typically would set it up in Wyoming. Some people use Delaware. So it flows down through this one LLC that files a tax return. You're going to invest in filing a tax return to ensure that the income that hits your 1040, you get full credit for that income from an underwriter, that they're not going to hold back 25% of it for vacancies. It's just a number, knowing how it hits your return. And then when it comes to deductions, they tend to focus on deductions that get added back in. So there are good deductions and bad deductions. When I first started my practice, I was taking bad deductions. I wiped out my income. I could make $500,000, $750,000 in a year. I paid zero in federal income tax. I thought, man, this is awesome.
Yeah. And,
right. Sounds cool.
It's hard. It's hard to say no. That's not the right way to do it.
I know.
How about it's 750K, like and then you're like, oh, pay zero taxes.
Yeah, I was on that train for a while, and then I realized I wasn't going anywhere. I couldn't grow my wealth because no one wanted to loan me money. Because going back to OPM, I had to use my own money, and that, you know, has a finite life to it. And so, the result of this no tax, no income tax strategy, it really prevented the growth that I was hoping for. And so I had to retool all of that. But in that process, I learned that there are certain deductions, you know, namely comes from real estate, understanding what those are, you know, cost seg is a big one right now, capitalizing on them. And then realizing that even though you're wiping out all your income and maybe depending on what you're doing on the on rep status or short-term rental status, whatever on that side, that's going to help you qualify for more financing as well so you can keep growing. So those are the things that I think are key that either people get it and they're making putting a lot of deals together and they're not running into roadblocks, or they don't get it and they wonder, why am I struggling?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're listening now and you're trying to visualize this structure, I would say you definitely need to connect with Clint and Anderson, because one of the first things they did for me, you guys built, you did a blueprint of everything that I had, which was a bunch of circles under Abel Pacheco's name. Abel Pacheco. I said, all my properties are owned by Abel Pacheco. And that's what I, you know, the light bulbs went off and they go, you're doing it wrong, man. You spent a lot of years. We applaud you for taking action. I think y'all told me, but you now need to do it this different way. So we employed exactly what Anderson told us. So here's, before I go into what I did, I will tell you that if you can just do this one thing, write this down, just follow someone who's already done what you want to do. Just go write it down and then implement their strategy. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to be the smartest person on earth to figure this stuff out. You don't have to be the savviest investor. I'm gonna raise my hand. I'm like none of those things. What I was really good at in my professional career and now investing career was just finding somebody who's already doing what I want to go do and just follow what they did. And as long as you know you have the right mentor, the right person that you're looking towards, and you know for sure they're doing what you want to go do, man, just follow that blueprint and just do it again and again. And that's what they did. They laid out a blueprint for me. It's like, start a corporation. And I go, I thought I'm going to get taxed on this. And they're like, yeah. Just start a C corp. We'll put all of our properties under LLCs. You have me on the right area. And man, we just closed on a house. If you're looking at the video, you're seeing a blank, empty slate behind me because we're moving tomorrow. All my stuff's in boxes. But some of my friends were asking me, they're like, how did you qualify for a loan? You didn't go down in house. And I go, no, I definitely went up. I about doubled the price of my old house. And I was set up in a way that they could qualify my income for my corporation structure, W-2, the right setup. And I got qualified for a loan, even though I haven't been working a formal professional W-2 tech job since 2019, I think we left. So this is the first time, you know, we were able to do that. And I'm just, man, it's excited. Big, nice house, nice pool, all that good stuff. So thanks a lot, Clint. I appreciate it.
Where's my cut?
Yeah, baby. I love it. So that's awesome. So anyways, I would say follow the pros, follow the experts. They've seen it. Clint, roughly speaking, I know you don't handle everyone's, you know, returns or anything like that because you have a business system, your system, a business that you operate. But how many clients are like within your family so people get it when they say, hey, you've looked at a lot of returns? How many clients do you serve? Or roughly speaking, what's the size of the community you serve?
The firm itself?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do about 16,000 returns this year during tax season. Mm-hmm. So it's quite extensive. And Our clientele comes from all over. We have syndicators like yourself. We have single family investors. We have people to flip, Airbnb. And the thing about it is that those different strategies that I just laid out for you or ways of investing, there are different legal strategies, different tax strategies that we look at for a particular type of investing. And that's what you should be looking at when you're going to go out there and start putting deals together, knowing what type of deal you want to get involved with, and then determine, all right, this is where I'm going to go. Then I got to make sure the structure I put in place aligns with that, or the professional even understands it. I mean, if you walked into an attorney tomorrow and you said, hey, I want to get involved in house hacking, they'll probably tell you it's an illegal activity because you can't hack into someone's house because they think you want to break in via a computer or something. Yeah. Not understanding, you're just, you know, I'm going to rent some rooms to help pay for this and the tenants pay my mortgage. So working with professionals as well that are doing what you're doing, I think is key.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's awesome. So I think a lot of our following is multifamily driven. We do a lot of syndications. We're in, you know, 1,500 doors-ish, $100 million plus of property. We've done about 14, 15 deals. We have 200 episodes. If anybody's interested in how to do what we do, listen to our first 100 episodes on our show. You'll get a lot of insight, right? But the reason I wanted Clint here is because we're really pivoting our podcast to serve more passive investors, right? Like, what do we need to know? So as a passive investor, doing syndications with cost segregation, with accelerated depreciation, Clint, can you give us any generalities you see across the board with this type of investing as it relates to taxes, strategies? How are the wealthy kind of leveraging those investment vehicles today?
For a single family investor?
For a multifamily passive with cost segregation, accelerated depreciation, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so with that, I mean, if people aren't familiar with cost segregation, what it is that you're taking an asset and you're compressing the depreciation schedule for 5, 7, and 15 year property that's on there, such as, you know, HVAC, kitchen counters, electrical, roofing, landscaping. So you take all this stuff. And so rather than have it on the straight line depreciation that property is going to be on, you're bringing that down to actually being deductible in year one. And so what that does for you, and we see a lot of our clients, is that when they go out and they buy an asset, let's say the asset's $1.2 million, their down payment has just been covered by performing a cost seg on the property, where they're able to walk in, get this huge tax deduction, probably somewhere in the realm of $300,000 to $400,000, if not higher. And that covers the cost to get into that property. So by buying the property, they're not out of pocket at all, just by using the tax code to benefit it. But it gets even better. Because a lot of these projects that you're going into, you're going to take a lot of stuff off and you're going to remodel it. Where I see people mess up is they don't realize, hey, you know that remodel stuff? Do your cost seg day one before you do any remodel. Then pull all that stuff off and you'll get a deduction for everything you just ripped out of your property. Ripping out counters, ripping out bathrooms, ripping out roofs, all that will become deductible. Then you turn around, put in all the new stuff, go back and perform a second cost seg on the property.
No, I did not know that.
Deduct it all over again. You get it twice. The first one's called a partial asset disposition.
Okay.
How you approach it. And then you come back. And I mean, I talk to investors day in and day out. They're like, wow, I didn't know that. I just did a $300,000 remodel. You're saying I could have written that off? I was like, yeah, you could have.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I know I do this show for many reasons, for others to get some education. A lot of times I'm getting the education and man, appreciate the time. I'm going to go talk to my guys and say, hey, since we're down at this rehab, some of these properties, I mean, they're $10 million deals, $20 million deals, whatever. And we're spending $1 million in CapEx, you know, over the first year-ish, but didn't know we could do it again and see. It's such a small amount for the cost seg study.
It's
a few thousand dollars. These things aren't like, they're not $100,000. It's like a few thousand bucks. And it unlocks in Clint's example, you know, a few $100,000. In our example, is like millions of dollars of depreciation that every investor gets a piece of it. And it, also, if you're new to the show and you're kind of like, what is all these terms? Cost segregation study is just something that as a syndicator, we do. We hire the engineers. We do the hire a firm. You don't have to do it. It basically turns into a K-1, a piece of paper that another professional then takes and reads. And then you give it to your CPA. And you're like, I'm an owner. I own a piece of this deal and I want my losses. And then the CPAs do it. So at a high level, that's kind of what happens. Clint mentioned straight line versus you're squeezing down the depreciation. These properties, ours are like 27 and a half years. You depreciate them. So you take a little bit of tax loss every year for 27 and a half years. But if you accelerate the depreciation, it squeezes down in the first few, you know, maybe 4 or 5, depending on the team that does it. But you take a lot of that depreciation all up front, all on like year one. And that just turns into this massive, you know, benefit for a lot of investors. So Pretty cool.
And depending on the types of investments you're engaging in and your activity level, you can take those losses and offset your other forms of income. So if maybe you're still pulling a W-2, one spouse is, and they're bringing in $150,000 a year, we might be able to wipe out, depending on your deductions, 50, 60, 70% of that income. So that is why you want to plan all this out with someone. Yeah. You do it the right way because you can't go back, unfortunately, and unring the bell.
That strategy is how we ended up keeping my wife at the house instead of going to work in one of our first heavy investing years. And we realized, well, we got to write off the taxes. She was a real estate professional in the house. And she was making, you know, we were saving as much as she was making her earning at the W-2. It was like, well, you just need to stay home. Just go get to work on that real estate side. So anyway, she did that.
And the kids have someone watching over them, right?
Yeah, for sure. So we get a double dip all the way through.
That's right.
And this has been an amazing conversation. And I just sincerely appreciate your time and taking it. But if I can ask you one or two more questions here before we go, Clint, across the board, when you see investors doing what we're doing, active activities, we're trying to find the next deal, we're trying to find the next investment, we're trying to diversify, we're trying to do all those things. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people? What do you see the biggest mistakes that people can avoid?
Well, I mean, you've really hit on it. I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is not valuing education and understanding that when you attend an event, you're making an investment into yourself. Now, of course, you can go there or pay to go to an event, but then you don't do anything with that information or your time there. Yeah, then that's a waste. But if you're serious, you use it. Like me, when I saw you in Colorado, you know, you're there networking and working and trying to align yourself with people who are better than you. You don't want to be the smartest person in the room. If you're the smartest man in the room, you know,
you're in the wrong room.
Yeah. You want to go to the other room because those are the individuals that are going to teach you. And in fact, in growing my business, I always adopted that philosophy because, you know, how do you market yourself? How do you get that business out there? And I would align myself with individuals who are killing it and then emulate what they were doing. I didn't have to go out and, like you stated, reinvent it. And I see a lot of people make that mistake. Oh, I can do it better. They're doing it really good. Why would you want to change that?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where you take on risks that you don't need to take on if you just copy what they're doing. So I think that is the biggest thing that I think benefit that people will get is that they have to, I see with my own firm and with, you know, I've got 30 some attorneys and the young ones come in and you get a sense for who's going to be a mover and shaker there because you look at how much time they're investing back in themselves. Just like what I still do to this day. I get up at 4:30 in the morning and I'll spend an hour and a half reading newspaper, you know, Wall Street, Fox, CNN. I'll hit them all, Washington Post, go and read blogs, listen to podcasts. So I know what's going on. So I can take that information, get it out to my clients, create new material for individuals that are going to be beneficial. So that's an investment time that I make every morning. I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
I've got close to 500 employees. I can have them do it. But that's the thing. If you're committed to success, you've got to put the time in.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. So before we go, if we want to reach out, one of our listeners has some questions, another one wants to sign up, another one wants a strategy, all the things, where do we go to reach you? And, you know, maybe some big events or something that they can go and just really dive deep into? How do we get more of this education that you have?
This is what I would say. We run a virtual event every other Saturday thereabouts. And what I would ask is that you go there initially, join it. There's no cost. I mean, all I'm asking of you is you take one day out of your month. And again, invest back into yourself, learn about this, where we cover corporate, you know, LLCs, different strategies for real estate investors, how corporations work, how land trusts work, and you're investing in different states, things, the nuances you should be aware of. And then we talk about the tax side as well. And we give you a really well-grounded viewpoint of what it takes to grow a real estate business. And that's why I keep saying business, because that is the mindset you should adopt. And so to join the event, all you have to do is I'll give you a link and we'll put it in the show notes as well. It's aba.link/5TCRE. You go there, you'll see you can just register for the event and then join myself and my partner Toby Mathis for the day. It's about 6 hours, 7 hours long, the event. And
wow,
delve in. And here's the best part about it. I have my attorneys are on there. I bring on select attorneys. I bring on some tax preparers as well. So not only am I going to be educating you, my partner's going to be educating you, going deep onto these matters. You can ask questions and you'll get the responses right then and there. So we make it interactive. We typically on an event like that, we'll answer 1600 questions for people who are on there.
That's amazing. That's incredible. Yes. 6 to 7 hours of your time pouring back into others for free. I'll tell you, if you're listening, I had already spent 20 grand or more into a Kiyosaki education kind of mindset before I found Clint. And then I was like, Oh man, I need to go deeper into the abyss of education, and you need to spend the time to invest in yourself. It is amazing that you're doing that. So that's great, man. That's awesome. Well, good. We'll put the link in the show notes, and anybody that's listening, you guys are there. If you're on your Apple iPhone or wherever you're listening to your podcast, it's Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and all the FM radio, whatever, or all the places that we syndicate out to. Go look at your show notes, sign up now, do yourself a favor, get some free education, and then implement it. Take action on it. Okay. Well, Clint, is there anything, you know, you were excited to share, you wanted to share, we just didn't touch on it, I didn't ask, anything else that you think we left out, brother?
Listen, if I get going, you know, I'm an attorney. No one likes to hear me speak more than myself. And we could carry this on for a couple hours. Now, just come to the event. And I think that it'll give you a greater understanding of how you should approach your investing from that legal and tax side. And we get people on that just rave about it. Because like you, Anderson's about educating our clients or just the public in general. You know, my YouTube channel, like your channel, is about just giving. And then through that, it helps people do more. I want everyone to experience what I've been able to experience in my life that can come through real estate. You know, my daughter's starting to do it already. She's 23 years old and she has three rental properties. And so that's an accomplishment.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, Clint. We really appreciate it. All of you, I would recommend connecting, go to the training, go to the seminar, go to all the things that they have. You're going to benefit from it. So we appreciate everyone's time. We're going to sign off. This is Abel Pacheco at the 5 Talents Podcast, where we show others how to build wealth like the 1%. Clint, thank you so much, man. Thank you,
bro. Abel, thanks for having me on.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the 5 Talents Podcast with myself, your host, Abel Pacheco. We really appreciate you liking, following, subscribing, and leaving all the written reviews for the 5 Talents Podcast. Each week, we're going to continue to bring interviews with private equity folks, VCs, advisors, financial planners, strategists, tax strategists, and other stewards of capital, many of which advise the wealthiest 1% on what to do with their money. So we appreciate you joining. Also, if you want to be notified of monthly future events we're hosting or attending, and if you want exclusive access to the same investment opportunities that have largely been reserved for the wealthiest 1%, many of which you've rarely ever heard about, go now to our website, watch our wealth building case study, and register to be added to our investment club. We're going to send you future opportunities, and you'll be able to watch all the moves that we made firsthand. Your investment journey is waiting for you to take the next step. So what is the next step? Go to www.5talents.capital. That's 5talents.capital, and register today. Thank you again. We can't wait to bring you the next show. And thank you for liking and subscribing.